Who are you? How do you define yourself? Is it by your name, your race, your country, your culture, your sport, your team, your talents, your friend group, your career, your financial status, your looks, your fitness level? Who are you? How do you define yourself? Is it by the mistakes you've made? Is it by the horrible things that have happened to you? Who are you? How do you define yourself? As a Christian man, you need to know who you are, down deep. You may not realize it, but your identity is a huge deal because it impacts everything else about the way you view and do life. Everything. It can often determine whether or not you experience peace or anxiety, joy or sadness, courage or fear, confidence or doubt, strength or weakness, endurance or defeat. I'm convinced that the way we view ourselves deeply impacts far more than we realize. And as a Christian man, you need to know who you are down deep. That's what we're going to dive into for this episode of the Grizz Podcast. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast, where our mission is to help boys become men and to help men become better men. It's going to be raw, it's going to be real, and it's going to be relevant. Now, here's your host, Jason George.
Who are you? How do you define yourself? Identity. Man, think about it. Like with being on a sports team, how crucial is it to the success of the team for you to know who you are on that team? I mean, first of all, you got to know which team you're on. You know what I'm saying? What side of the sidelines are you on? Whose uniform are you putting on? And we do things with sports to help us identify who's who. You know what I'm saying? Like with the uniforms. When I played football back in high school, a lot of times if it was an away game, we wore our white uniforms because we knew the home team was going to wear their darker uniforms or vice versa, something like that. It was to distinguish who's who. You had to know whose team you were on. You had to know not only that, but what position on the team that you played. In high school, I played for the Riverdale Crusaders. On offense, I was the center. On defense, I was the nose guard. I knew that I was on that team, the Riverdale Crusaders. And I knew my position on the team. I knew who I was and what I was supposed to do. And that helped lead our team to success and victory. And it wasn't just me. It was that each person on that team knew that they were on that team, knew their position on the team, and then fulfilled that role. They knew their identity and they fulfilled that identity. what that identity required of them. That determined the success and victory of our football team. And we had a very successful football team. The same is true in your Christian life. When you know who you are in Christ, your new identities that God gives you when you become a Christian, then you know what you're supposed to do. And that leads to success, victory in your Christian life. Sadly, most Christians don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know the identities that God has given them. And that is often why so many of them live defeated Christian lives. Let me grab a sip of my coffee here. Professional Christian counselor and author Neil T. Anderson, who deals with people who are stuck in habitual sin or even demonically oppressed or even demonically possessed. I want you to listen to what he said about the importance of Christians knowing their new identity. He says, "Every defeated Christian I have ever worked with had one thing in common. None of them have known who they were in Christ or have understood what it means to be a child of God." That's powerful, man. I mean, that's eye-opening. That slaps us in the face. Again, that's professional Christian counselor and author Neil T. Anderson, who deals with people who got some serious issues, man. Habitual sin, demonic oppression, even people who are demonically possessed. He's worked with all sorts. Some of his stories in his books are pretty crazy to read about. "Every defeated Christian I have ever worked with has had one thing in common. None of them have known who they were in Christ or have understood what it means to be a child of God." You know, a popular saying that I often hear many Christians say is, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Like they say it like they're being this good, humble Christian. And man, I want to slap them. I want to slap them and I want to shake them. And I want to say, no, you're not. No, you're not just a sinner saved by grace. Read the New Testament. God says that you are infinitely more than that. And what I want to do is I want to share with you guys here on this episode some of the identities that God gives us as believers in Christ. God defines who we are, not society, not what other people have done to us, not even ourselves. God defines who we are as believers in Christ. And God never lies. Every word that comes out of God's mouth is truth. And we just have to decide whether we're going to believe it or not. And when we believe it, there's incredible power in that. And I'm talking about the kind of belief that's more than head belief, intellectual belief. I'm talking about the real heart belief that you believe it so much that you act on it, that you live it out. That's real belief. Number one, God says that you're a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's my life verse, man. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." You see, if you are a follower of Christ, the old you is dead in God's eyes. He sees you as a completely new person. Number two, God says that you are reconciled to Him. You are reconciled to Him. Romans 5:10 says this, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Number three, you're an adopted child of God. You're an adopted child of God. Let's look at what John 1, verse 12 says. Let me flip over to that. "But to all who did receive Him," talking about those who received Jesus as Lord, "who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." You're an adopted child of God. Let's look at Ephesians 1:5. It says, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will." I know what it's like to not have a mother and a father. My mom died when I was 5 years old. My dad was never really part of my life, especially from the age of 12 on. I live with my brother, my older brother, Mark. I know what it's like to not have a mother and a father, to feel abandoned, to feel orphaned. But now, as a believer, follower of Christ, I have something infinitely better. I have God as my Father. He's adopted me, and He is always there for me. The same holds true for you if you're a believer in Christ. Number four, the Bible says you're Christ's friend. You're Christ's friend. Listen to John 15:15. Let me get over there. Letting my fingers do the walking, you know what I'm saying? "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." It's powerful, man. I mean, Jesus is our Lord, but He says that He also calls us His friend. Friend of God. That's who you are now. Number five, you are justified of all your sins. Justified of all your sins. That's a legal kind of courtroom term. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Number six, you're redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Listen to what that says. "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." You've been redeemed or ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Number seven, you're forgiven of all of your sins. You are forgiven. That's who you are. Of all of your sins, even the ones you've yet to commit. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All unrighteousness. You ever feel guilt or shame about stuff that you've done in the past? Does your past ever come back to haunt you? Mine does. And when it does, I go back to this biblical truth. I am forgiven. Who is Jason George? Dude, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm reconciled to God. I'm an adopted child of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm justified. I'm redeemed. And I'm forgiven. Number 8, you are free of all condemnation. You are free of all condemnation. Listen to what Romans 8:1-2 says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Number 9, you are righteous and holy in God's eyes because of Christ. Listen to what Philippians 3:9 says in Colossians 1:22. Philippians 3:9. Let me get over there. I'll start at verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then Colossians 1, verse 22. He, talking about Christ, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Dude, it's incredible news. You may not feel like you're righteous and holy, but because of Christ, in God's eyes, you are righteous and holy. Number 10, you're unconditionally loved by God. Unconditionally and eternally loved by God. Listen to Romans 8:38-39. Some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's awesome. And then Psalm 1, 36. Psalm 136, man. Let me get over there, going Old Testament here. Talking about who you are, your new identity. This entire chapter of Psalm 136 has this phrase that it constantly repeats, and it's the phrase that says, his steadfast love endures forever. He just keeps saying it through the whole psalm. And there's 26 verses in this psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. And dude, it just keeps going for 26 verses. I won't read them all. I'm just making the point that God says you are unconditionally and eternally loved by God. God will never stop loving you, no matter what. His love endures forever. It's repeated through the whole chapter of Psalm 136. It's repeated throughout all of Psalms. Listen, guys, there is nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. And there is nothing that you have done that can make God love you any less. His love is steadfast. That's who you are. That's what you have from him. Cling to that. Friends and even family may stop loving you for whatever reason. A spouse or children may stop loving you for some reason. A parent may stop loving you for some reason. But the God of the universe never will. Number 11, you're a member of Christ's body. his church. You're a member of Christ's body, his church. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Number 12, you're complete in Christ. You're complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. Listen to what it says. And you have been filled or complete in him who is the head of all rule and authority. That's powerful, man. I don't always feel complete. You know what I'm saying? I often feel like I'm lacking in so many areas. But in Christ, again, the way God sees me, I am complete in him. Number 13, you're sealed by his Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You're sealed, man. He's got you. Number 14, man, this is one of my favorites. You're a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20. You're a citizen of heaven. Listen to what this says. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Dude, that's such good news, man. Like, I'm patriotic. You know what I'm saying? I know that I'm a citizen of the United States. I'm thankful for that. I'm patriotic. But you know, my first allegiance, when I pledge allegiance to the flag, my first allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Because first and foremost, I'm not a citizen of the United States of America. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my true home. That's the place that is reserved for me because of what Christ did for me on the cross and through the resurrection. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples then and even his disciples now, us today, that he goes to prepare a place for us. And he's one day going to take us there to be with him forever. Man, this temporary fallen world, this is not your true home. You're just passing through. Remember, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. To depart this life, the Apostle Paul said, and to go to heaven is far better. Philippians 1:23. Number 15, you're an alien, stranger, sojourner in this temporal world. You're an alien, stranger, and sojourner in this temporal world. You're not supposed to fit in down here. You're not supposed to be like everyone else. You are supposed to be different. You're an alien, a stranger, a sojourner in this temporal world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Let me get there. Listen to what it says. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Why should we abstain from the passions of the flesh, the sinful things of this world? Because we're just passing through. Because in this world, we're sojourners or aliens or strangers. We're exiles. We don't belong here. This ain't home. Which leads us to number 16. Well, then what are we doing here? You're a witness or an ambassador of Christ to this lost world. That's what you're doing here. You are a witness or an ambassador of Christ to this lost world. Listen to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Dude, you're a witness, you're an ambassador of Christ to this lost world. Another way of saying it in Matthew 5:13 is you're salt and light. to this lost world. That's who you are. Be who you are. Play your position on the team. You know what I'm saying? You're the only Christ that many people will ever see. So represent. Don't be a crappy Jesus. You know, the guy in my life who has been, without question, the greatest ambassador of Christ that I've ever gotten to know and see and listen to up close and personal is a guy named Tim Duggins, Tim Duggins Sr. He was my youth pastor in high school, and he's still a mentor in my life to this day. Man, a lot of people can talk Christ. A lot of people can talk Christianity, but not a lot of people live and show and represent Christ. That's what this means. You're a witness or an ambassador of Christ to this lost world. Hey, I'm all for speaking up and sharing the gospel. You got to use your mouth. You got to articulate words. I'm thankful for the people that did that in my life. But I'm especially thankful for the people in my life, like Tim Duggins, that didn't just speak it with their mouth. They spoke it with the way that they live their life. And he still does. He still does. Number 17, you are God's co-worker. You're God's co-worker. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 says this, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The Apostle Paul was saying, yo, man, God is at work. God's working in people, but we work with him. We are his co-worker. That's who you are. So again, be who you are. Play your position on the team. Number 18, you're God's workmanship. You're God's workmanship. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Whenever I hear that word workmanship, man, I think of just like the blue-collar, gritty worker, just making something. Like maybe the old blacksmith that was forging like a sword in the fire. And it doesn't look like much, just a hunk of steel. And he's just beating it in that fire, you know, and shaping it, bringing it out, cooling it off, doing it again. And then he's got to sharpen it. And the whole process is nothing but freaking painful for the sword. I mean, the sword is just like, get me the heck out of here. But that sword, that weapon is being forged. That weapon is the blacksmith's workmanship. It's that thing that he's creating that's going to be a valuable weapon or tool. It's the same thing with you. God's not done with you. God's still shaping you, making you into the man that he wants you to be, that he's called you to be, so that he can use you in this world. Number 19, you're a warrior for Christ. You're a warrior for Christ. A lot of guys don't realize this, man. We're in a spiritual battle. And God wants you to step up and be a warrior in that battle. And that's what the whole Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 passage is all about. It's about spiritual warfare and about the armor of God that we're to put on. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is warfare here. Gentlemen, you're a warrior for Christ. Listen to what Paul tells young Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. He's saying fight, battle, wage war. Faith is a fight, in case you don't know that. It doesn't come easy, not in this life, not in this world. I'll tell you what comes easy is doubt, anxiety, fear, skepticism. You're a warrior for Christ. Listen to what else the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Again, Paul is using military terms, warfare terms, to describe what? Who you are in Christ. And some of you, you need to start viewing yourself the way God views you. Not some of you, all of you. We all do. But I'm saying, like, some of you would say, man, the last thing I look at myself as is a warrior for Christ. You got that mentality, like I said earlier, like, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just thankful I'm getting into heaven. And shut up. You're unbiblical and you're being a wussy. You're not being all you are, all that God says that you are. Dude, it's not about being cocky or arrogant saying these things. This is who God says we are. It's about embracing it, believing it, acting on it. When you know who you are, it changes the way you view and do life. It determines in many, many ways whether you experience defeat or victory in the Christian life. Number 20, going right along with that, being a warrior for Christ, you're a victor or a conqueror in Christ. A victor or a conqueror in Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then there's Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You're a victor, a conqueror in Christ. That's who you are. Believe it. Embrace it. Accept it. Live it out. Number 21, you're never alone. You're never alone. Hebrews 13:5 says, God says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And then Psalm 37:28 says the same thing. Psalm 94:18 says the same thing. It's God just saying, "I'm always with you. I'm never going to bail out on you. No matter where you go, to the deepest cave, the deepest ocean, you could leave our, you know, our atmosphere and go into outer space, and God's like, "I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you're at, whatever you're going through." You, the one listening to this right now, the man who's listening to this, you are never singular. You're always plural, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. You know, this truth has really helped me over the last month or two. I've had a lot of stuff going on medically, and it's been scary at times. I won't get into all of the details, but with what was going on, there were CAT scans, multiple MRIs, blood work multiple times, endoscopy, colonoscopy, etc. It got kind of overwhelming at times. Anxiety was spiking. A lot of racing thoughts, a lot of what ifs, a lot of intense pain that I couldn't get under control. And then a peace came. I remember specifically being in the MRI machine for the second time. It's making all those crazy noises that it makes. And it's like you're in a casket. You got nowhere to go. You can't get out. And I just began to think, I'm not alone right now. He is with me. He's always with me. In my pain, He is with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. That can never be taken from me. I also began to remind myself of one of my other identities, which I already went over. I am a citizen of heaven. No matter what happens to me, if something did happen to me, if one of these tests reveals, oh no, you're going to die this week. I mean, we're all going to die, but oh well. Oh well. I'm good. And see, this is where there's power in these identities, because I was speaking these truths to myself, and it affected my feelings. And then that affected the state of my physical body. These truths, I took them in mentally. I called them up mentally. I reviewed them. I stated them. I claimed them. I embraced them. I let it sink way down into my heart. This is who you are. This is what you have. And it began to help me feel things like peace and inner joy, even in the midst of an MRI machine, even in the midst of getting poked and probed with blood work and colonoscopy, endoscopies coming at me from both ends. You know what I'm saying? There's power in it, man. It moves from just being truths, facts, just being mental, intellectual. It moves into my heart. It begins to affect the way I feel psychologically, emotionally, and then it begins to affect the way I feel physically. I can feel my body untense, relax. Heart rate slows down. Blood pressure calms down. The sweating stops. I've experienced it many times with what I'm going through, and I will experience it many more times. Number 22 goes exactly with what I was just saying. This is another great identity, man. You're eternally secure in Christ. You're eternally secure in Christ. No matter what happens, no matter what you do or don't do as a Christian, you're eternally secure in Christ. That's not a green light to go sin. It ought to motivate you to live holy and make a difference in this world. But you're eternally secure in Christ. Listen to John 10, verses 28 and 29. This is Jesus talking. It says, I'll start at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. There are no more powerful hands in the universe than the hands of God. And he says, that's where I hold you. That's where I keep you. Nothing will snatch you out. Nothing will take you from my hands. That's powerful, man. I mean, it's the same thing we read earlier about nothing's going to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last one. You're confident. Who are you? You're confident that all things in your life will work together for good because you're a man who is called according to God's good purposes, because you're a man who's striving to love God. You're confident that all things in your life, all things, even the things that don't make sense, even the things that hurt, confuse, anger you, make you feel like God left you, you're confident that all things in your life will work together for good. Romans 8, 28, man, another one of my favorite life verses. I've had to go to it often over the last year. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, this verse doesn't apply to everyone. It's not for everyone in the world. Not everything that happens for every person in the world or to every person is going to work out for the good, but it does for us who are called according to his purpose, those of us who are striving to love God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, God's going to work it together for the good somehow, some way. These identities, let me read through all of them really quick one more time. I've only given you 23 of them. I'm going to stop there. You're a new creation in Christ. You're reconciled to God. You're an adopted child of God. You're Christ's friend. You're justified of all your sins. You're redeemed. You're forgiven of all your sins, even the ones you've yet to commit. You're free from all condemnation. You're righteous and holy in God's eyes because of Christ. You're unconditionally and eternally loved by God. You're a member of Christ's body, his church. You're complete in Christ. You're sealed by his Holy Spirit. You're a citizen of heaven. You're an alien, stranger, sojourner, exile in this temporal world. You're a witness ambassador of Christ to this lost world. You're God's co-worker. You're God's workmanship. You're a warrior for Christ. You're a victor, conqueror in Christ. You're never alone. You're eternally secure in Christ. You're confident that all things will work together for good in your life. These identities, guys, these divine truths, they help bring me peace, comfort, and courage when the storms of life hit, when doubt, anxiety, fear, confusion, and depression hit. This is what I got to cling to. It's who Christ is, and it's who I now am in him. Knowing your identity, who you are as a man, a Christian man, knowing who you are, your identity down deep, is a really big deal. It impacts everything about the way you view and do life. It is crucial to your success, to your victory in this Christian life. When false and negative thoughts bombard your mind, you need to answer back with the truth about who you are. When doubts, anxiety, fear, confusion, or depression hit, you need to answer back with the truth about who you are. Don't believe every thought and feeling that you have. Believe what God says about who He is and about who you are in Him and about what you have in Him. Believe that. Guys, you need to know this. You need to believe it. You need to say it out loud to yourself and to any evil, foul spirit that might be messing with you. Say it out loud. Remind yourself of your new identity often and live it out. Be who He says you are. And know that, I was thinking about this. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, or I believe it's also in Luke chapter 4, Satan tried his best to get Jesus to question his identity. He says this phrase twice, "If you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God." But Jesus wouldn't play into that. He wouldn't even consider such an outlandish idea. He was confident in who He was and in what He came to do. So He resisted the devil, and the devil fled from Him. And we're commanded to do the same. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How do we resist the devil or one of his demons? One of the best ways is by stating out loud your new identities, plural, in Christ. You hear something whisper in your mind, God has abandoned you. You're all alone in this. Answer back. No, I'm not all alone. I'm never alone. I am always plural. I'm never singular. God has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13:5. Whether I feel Him or not is irrelevant. He's with me. You hear something whisper in your mind. Remember that one sin that you committed? That was so horrible. How could any Christian ever do such a thing? You're such a horrible sinner. Answer back. No. I'm forgiven, and I am cleansed of all my sins because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross. 1 John 1:9. You hear in your mind a whisper that says, you're never going to overcome this struggle. You're never going to overcome this trial, this pain, this addiction. Answer back. Yes, I will, because in Christ, I am a victor, I am a conqueror. Romans 8:37 and 38. You guys get the point. That's how you use your new identities in Christ that He has given us to win the spiritual battles that you face. Know them, embrace them, recite them, use them, be confident in them, live this out. This isn't the quote-unquote power of positive thinking, Norman Vincent Peale stuff. This is the power of the Word of God. We speak His truth to overcome all lies, negativity, anxiety, fear, confusion, and depression. We speak His truth to overcome the enemy when the enemy comes to tempt us, to mislead us, to deceive us. We speak His truth about who He says that we are. Your identity matters big time. And that's word to your mother.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. if this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.